Buster, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
Welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I am your host, Kurt Linderman Sr., in the studio once again with my lovely wife and co-host Kimberly, bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. Once again, welcome to the show. Those of you that pay attention to the show a little bit and have watched and listened to it recently, you'll know that Thursday's show was Wednesday's show. Or what was it? No. Thursday's show was supposed to air on Wednesday. They had to re-air. And those of you that normally listen to the show or have listened often enough know that I've been experiencing some major computer problems. And you'll be happy to know that those computer problems did not attribute at all to the issue that we had. We have to Dropbox our shows, and Dropbox just simply wasn't working. We tried so hard to get the show in. And then, of course, in the evening, that evening, boom, happened without a problem. So hopefully these things won't happen again. Natural News contacted me and let me know that basically they were going to work on the problem and there were going to be other delivery systems that we could use in order to do the show. And comforting to know that it's an issue that they're very concerned about. There's some new people on Natural News Radio. They've got two new shows coming up in the very near future. So, I think it's great. It's looking really good. I checked the website out today, and I hope everybody's enjoying this show. We're getting a lot of, as I said before, I hesitate to use the word fan mail, but getting a lot of positive comments about this show. I think there is an audience for the indignant anger that we portray on the program. I am in the studio with my lovely wife and co-host, as I said at the beginning of the program. She will be talking quite a bit today. She picked one article, two parts, that she really wants to talk about today. I do want to get to this Dr. Pan, though. This is just another just quick little way that they're slowly trying to erode our rights. And Dr. Pan in California is really good at this. Dr. Pan introduces bill to provide parents immunization information to prevent outbreaks. Now this is AB 2109, and it was introduced as public health officials gather at the Capitol to help prevent repeat of California's 2010 epidemic. Now that 2010 epidemic was how many cases of it was whooping cough. And you know, we have now, they're looking at 110, one out of 110 with autism.
No.
Well, wait a minute. They're looking, as of right now, until they release the new figures, it's one in 110 is what they're saying. But the new figures are supposed to be coming out.
Now, I thought it was one in 100 that they'd rounded up from one in 91. Because they didn't want to say one in 91, so they rounded it up to one in 100.
Well, and then when you look at that one in 100, or the initial one was one in 110, but those were figures that were figured out in 2000 from 8-year-olds. This is 2012, and they're just coming out with new figures. But one in 100, I believe it's closer to like one in 40. The new numbers probably will be around one in 80, something like that is what I'm thinking. But we have all, and in fact, this is a good segue into what you're going to be reading later, is with all these numbers, with these horrible numbers, autism's just whatever. Not an epidemic, not a pandemic. You have 30 or 40 or 50, not sure how many exactly, cases of whooping cough in a state of how many millions, and all of a sudden it's a pandemic that requires special legislation. How pathetic is that? just to start off with. Now this lying piece of worthless human excrement, also known as Dr. Richard Pan, who's not only a doctor, but he's a Democrat from Sacramento, today introduced, and he introduced Bill 2109 to provide parents with health information that they can use to help keep their children and other members of the community safe and prevent epidemics. In 2010, the pertussis outbreak caused over 9,000 infections, which is typical, I think. People get pertussis. 800 hospitalizations and 10 deaths. Now, you know, I'm sorry, but as far as the 10 deaths go and everything, that is just typical bullcrap. Just like the swine flu epidemic, where they just pretty much said if they come in with snotty noses and trouble breathing and body aches, don't test it. Just call it swine flu. You know, there's so many issues at stake here. So I honestly believe that they're blowing this pertussis thing out of proportion to begin with.
And over 10 children have died that have autism this year.
Oh, without a doubt.
When it comes to wandering, when it comes to seizures, when it comes to adverse reactions, over 10 children have died.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
From autism.
Yeah, from autism. Now, when we look at the other vaccine issues, far more than that have died. In 2010, when this pertussis outbreak, we were on another radio network, and I'm telling you what, it was almost weekly where we were talking about a drowning child getting out in traffic, all autistic kids dying, and it was almost weekly.
Well, it's happening now, too.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Weekly, you see it on Facebook that there's a child gone missing or a child's died from a seizure. Weekly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is what Dr. Pan says. Parents are on the front line when it comes to protecting the health of their children and their communities. This bill empowers them with up-to-date, accurate information about immunizations. As a pediatrician, I have spent my career poisoning many families. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was wrong. I have spent my career making sure families, physicians, and public officials are working in unison to build healthier communities. How's that working out for you there, Dr. Pan? How is that healthier communities working out?
I'm sure he's making a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but not because the children are healthy. There's no way. This is just ridiculous. How in the hell can these pediatricians and these scientists and these idiots at the CDC and the FDA and the AAP and the AMA and name all the other freakish organizations out there, how in the hell can they sit there with a straight face and talk about how their immunizations are making healthier communities? Look at the state of healthcare and chronic disease in this nation and tell me where any of these communities across this land, across the planet, are healthier today than they were 30 years ago. Sure, maybe they are pertussis free. Who the hell cares about pertussis when you've got children dying of acute demyelinating encephalomyelitis? Who in the hell cares about whooping cough when you've got children dying of asthma attacks, when you've got seizures, diabetes, juvenile arthritis that's going to last a lifetime? Who in the hell cares? And how can they, with a straight face, talk about healthy communities? Now, with overwhelming bipartisan support, because this is in California, where they already believe that we should, you know, just not even worry about asking the parents before we inject a 12-year-old with a sexually transmitted disease vaccine, California is full of a bunch of commie pigs that care nothing whatsoever about family, about rights. They wipe their ass with the Constitution, for God's sake, over there. It's absolutely pathetic. I honestly believe somebody should take that border that they're building in Arizona, the wall they should be building in Arizona and Texas, and bring it right up the east border of California and give the people that have a brain time to get the hell out and just completely close off that damn state. It's absolutely ridiculous. If y'all love California, that's fine and dandy by me, but change it or get the hell out of there. There are a bunch of freaks over there. Now, of course, they had overwhelming bipartisan support because it's calling for children to be immunized for certain diseases that pose an immediate threat to public health. Okay, what diseases would they, could they pick that don't pose an immediate risk? Name one disease, especially a disease that there's already a vaccine for that isn't, that doesn't pose an immediate risk. This is the funny thing. Before the measles vaccine, when you talk to any doctor out there, it was, okay, you got the measles. Get plenty of bed rest and watch the fever and drink plenty of fluids. And now all of a sudden, it's this immediate threat to the public's health interests. It is propaganda, and we just eat it up like a bunch of idiots. Okay, AB 2109 would simply ensure that parents receive accurate information about immunizations from a licensed healthcare practitioner before they decide if they will sign the form. Now, here's the deal. This is a philosophical exemption form. And what this whole, the whole idea of this bill is, if you have a philosophical reason to decline immunizations for your children, you have to speak with a propagandized idiot MD. That in and of itself is just blatantly wrong to me. Why do I have to talk to a doctor who is full of nothing but propaganda and lies about my philosophical beliefs? When you get a degree in philosophy or a degree in theology and you're ready to sit down and really have an in-depth conversation with me, let's have at it, idiot. Until then, you keep your medical bullcrap away from my philosophical and religious beliefs. They don't belong in the same place. And who determines who that doctor is that's going to spoon feed you your daily dose of lies and bullcrap? This will be, this will not be, well, your doctor needs to talk to you. This will be just typical socialist, communist crap. We have this doctor who is in your district that will talk to you about your issues and will try to, and is probably just as well, I'm trying to find the word, just as well learned in propagandizing and intimidation than they are in, well, they're probably better learned at that than they are at the real science behind immunizations.
But you still have to make the appointment. I'm sure you're still going to have to pay for an office call.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's money and it's bullying.
It's not, yeah, it is that, but it really is this whole idea of the mass poisoning of our children. And they are going to intimidate us. They are going to do everything possible to ensure that only those that are the vaccinate, that they are going to do everything they can to intimidate, to ostracize, to just belittle parents and pressure them into vaccinating. And they are trying to make it so hard to get out of it that these parents are finally, as we've seen many times, throw up their hands and say, fine. I mean, we see parents right now that really believe not to, well, I won't say really, that believe they shouldn't vaccinate their children or at least be careful about it. But then the minute the school calls and says, no school unless you got the shots, okay, fine, give them the shots. You know, it's so easy for so many of us to just acquiesce when given any kind of obstacle whatsoever, you know, any kind of pressure. Many of us will fall victim to that, and this is just part of that. But it has so much more to do with than just money. Dr. Pan, I would love to have this idiot on the show. I really would. I am still waiting. For the last 5 years, I have basically begged a pediatrician or any healthcare professional on this planet that believes that what I talk about almost on a daily basis on this program, that to come on this program and I will give them 100% unedited 1 hour to tell my listening audience how wrong I am. But here's the deal. You got to answer my questions too. I'll give you a half hour. I'll give you 20 minutes uninterrupted to talk about how wonderful vaccines are. I guarantee you my word, 20 minutes uninterrupted, 20 minutes of debate, and then 20 minutes where you have to answer my questions and you can't bullcrap around about it. You have to answer my questions. And I, as of yet, this is 5 years I've been doing this, and as of yet, not one doctor has the cojones to step up. And there won't be one. I guarantee you there will not be a doctor that will come on this program and debate me on this issue. Because they can't. I'm a high school graduate. You would think that any doctor would jump at the chance to make me look like a fool and an idiot. You would think any doctor would. And they're incredibly frightened of somebody like me because they can't stand up. They don't have the science. There is no science backing up their bullcrap lies. And Dr. Pan is one of them. Now, Dr. Pan is a father, a pediatrician, educator, small business owner, and first-term assembly member who lives in Sacramento. He also represents the cities of Citrus Heights and Folsom and surrounding areas, and has sold his soul to the pharmaceutical industry when he got out of
college,
yeah, medical school. This is just crazy. And the whole idea behind the worrying about the outbreaks and the pandemics, you know. In fact, I think we really ought to go right to those articles that I want you to read, that you wanted to read today, because it really does come back to that whole idea of what's the real pandemic? What's the real epidemic? And why in the hell is it so hard to figure that out? Now, the first part of this article is from the Thinking Mother's Revolution, which we talked about. And before we get to that, I talked to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She is so busy. She's already making a lot of changes to the Vaccine Research Library. She is like doing, oh my gosh, she said the soonest she could get to me for an interview is probably next Friday. That's how busy she is. She's doing like 6 interviews a day right now. So we will be getting her on. Lisa Goes, one of the Thinking Moms Revolution founders, isn't she? And also, she's what kind of editor is she for Age of Autism? She's not an associate editor, but she's one of the editors for Age of Autism. If you like the way I talk on this program, you will love Lisa Goes' writings. She is just as passionate and pissed off as I am and as you are, Kim. And she's an amazing writer. She's blue-collar, right in your face. I just love her. And she's going to be a guest on the program next week, hopefully beginning of next week. And we've got two more small sponsors for the show that we're going to have on next week. That's going to be really, really, it's going to be a real fun week next week. Go ahead and get to part one of this article, and I'm going to be stopping you along the way to talk a bit about the article.
Okay, the title is Blaze's Excellent CDC Adventure, and this is part one, and it was posted March 13th. Hey, Blaze here. I'm an autism mom. Before that, a silly party girl with only the next get-together of like-minded, good-for-a-laugh tomfooleries on the calendar. Usually those were all days that end in Y. But something changed in me when my oldest child got sick. Life got a whole lot more serious, and what I do in this life got a whole lot more important. Something more changed in me when I figured out that what was going on with my son could have possibly been prevented. The last branch of the vapid tree snapped when I discovered that I was on my own to figure out how to help him, because our government and medical system were failing us.
Okay, stop there for a minute. This is a story that is so blatantly obvious and so normal for those of us in the autism community. We all didn't have a care in the world. Our lives literally changed overnight when Caden was hurt and was hurt by the vaccines. And so many of us, our lives have turned so drastically because of that injury. And the one thing, like Blaze is saying here, the key ingredient to the indignant anger that so many of us have is the fact that it is so obvious to those of us within the community of vaccine-injured children. I don't even want to say autism community. The community of vaccine-injured children and their parents, it is so obvious to us what's happened. The science is so obvious to us as well. And when we see the government and the medical establishment, the medical industrial complex, continuing to ignore us, that just inflames us, our anger, you know? And it really does get to the point where your whole life, the way you look at everything changes. The way you used to believe in your government, the way you used to believe in those men and women in the white coats, it is really such a life-altering deal. You know what I mean, Kim?
Right. And Blaze's son is the same age as ours.
Yeah.
So I jumped into action to figure out how to help him, and the last 8 years have been the most crazy, stressful, upsetting, and also rewarding years of my life. My son is doing great, but I decided years ago that autism or no autism, for the rest of my life, whenever I have the chance, I will be as loud as I can on the subject of my son and children like him. How about a revolution? And that little promise, my friends, is how this mom ended up at a podium in front of 150 doctors and professionals at the CDC. We can call it Blaze's excellent CDC adventure. Almost exactly 1 year ago, I drove the 4 hours to Atlanta to a meeting called a workshop on U.S. data to evaluate changes in the prevalence of autism spectrum disorders at the CDC. Who knows when you will read this? It was 2-1 of 11. It was sponsored by the National Center of Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Autism Speaks. In attendance for the panel were the likes of Jerry Dawson and Peter Bell from Autism Speaks.
Okay, hold on a minute. Okay, so we've got right here, we have the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Autism Speaks. Three totally worthless, ignorant organizations that are doing nothing but continuing to cover up the real problem. So when you think about these three organizations, and I love what Blaze talks about later in the article about Autism Speaks and what a waste that is, but then the only name in here that I find even somewhat remarkable as far as on our side is Mark Blaxel of the people that attended this. But okay, go ahead and go on. But all of these organizations, including Autism Speaks, totally worthless and nothing but covering up the whole issue.
Okay, so it was Jerry Dawson and Peter Bell from Autism Speaks, Allison Singer of the Autism Science Foundation, Mark Blaxel, author of Age of Autism, Dr. Krista Kreider, a geneticist with the CDC, Dr. Jane Charles, developmental pediatrician at MUSC, Prissa Shen Marvin, former chair of NAAR, National Alliance for Autism Research, Dr. Lisa Crone, director of Kaiser Permanente Autism Research Program, Roy Richard Grinker, professor of anthropology at George Washington University, Dr. William McMahon, chair of the psychiatry department at University of Utah, and many other touted experts in psychiatry, epidemiology, and psychiatric epidemiology. Oh, and let's not forget Wolf Dunaway, a federal employee who has a diagnosis of autism. We'll get to him later.
Yeah,
a
complete sellout idiot bastard.
I felt compelled to attend and also to speak during the time allotted for open comment. The first half of the day was filled with speakers from the CDC giving their take on autism prevalence. They still are using the 1 in 110 number, a count of 8-year-olds in the year 2000. Yes, 11 years ago. This is the last time the CDC tried to figure out how many American children are affected, although rumor has it that we might be getting some new numbers in April in honor of Awareness Month.
Yeah, we're aware already.
Even though the name of the meeting was Workshop on U.S. Data to Evaluate Changes in the Prevalence of Autism Spectrum Disorders, there was no new information since the year 2000. Again, this is written in 2012. Such subjects were discussed as what might be influencing temporal patterns in prevalence. What do we
temporal
know?
Temporal patterns in prevalence. In other words, what's making people think that autism is on the rise?
Right. What do we know about genes that are involved? What do parental age, economic, and educational status of parents have to do with autism prevalence?
Which is total BS.
What other factors might be involved? What does U.S. Department of Education think about all this? What can we learn from the analytic methodologies used in cancer, asthma, and schizophrenia? The answers to those questions? We don't know. Not a whole lot. Probably nothing. Who knows? To say it was enlightening, well, it was, but not in a good way. When it came time, halfway through the day, for the public comments section, I was agitated. And my other autism mom friends who came to speak were as well. No urgency, no new answers, none of the desperation that we as thinking moms are feeling.
Right. So to set this up, here's this whole group of a bunch of despicable idiots, and Mark Blaxwell thrown in there as like
the voice of reason.
The voice of reason, and he had to feel incredibly alone.
Yeah, but I bet his face was beet red and he thought his head was going to explode.
Oh, I can only imagine. I know Mark, and yeah, it was probably infuriating as hell. He's got to be one hell of a good guy to be able to sit there amongst all them idiots, because I would have so been slapping the hell out of people. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not literally, metaphorically putting a smackdown on these idiots. I would have been like, what was that movie? You're out of order here.
Everybody's out of order.
This whole damn court is out of order. So here is what Blaze says as she gets her 3 minutes at the podium.
When it came my time to stand in front of the cast of characters that are experts, in quotation marks, in autism, this is what I said. Hello, I am the mother of a 10-year-old son diagnosed with autism, encephalopathy, and heavy metal toxicity. I also work as a patient and family advocate for autism spectrum disorders for a South Georgia pediatrician. What drove me to come here today is this. My son was diagnosed with autism over 7 years ago. At the same time, at the pediatrician's office for a family who gets a diagnosis today as it was when my son was diagnosed back then. Pediatricians send you to speech and occupational therapy, and that's it. And that's unacceptable. This is when I looked up, 10 feet away, right in front of and right into the eyes of Jerry Dawson, head of science at Autism Speaks. That being said, I would like to share what I have seen and learned over the years. On the subject of prevalence, I would like to point out that in the last 10 to 15 years in my small town, all you would have to do is take a look at the autism therapists and specialists hired within our school system, the special autism classrooms created, and the fact that a pediatrician felt the need to hire an advocate for ASD patients to believe in a real and terrifying increase. I wonder if a pediatrician has ever hired an advocate for any special need or disease, like measles. I can't say I've ever heard that. This is when I looked up to see Allison Singer turn away from me, legs crossed toward the back of the room while she played around with her phone. In the last 3 years, I have taken patient family histories on 300 families. On the subject of what I see in my office, I'd like to say that the studies you have been referred to today do not apply to my patients. A running theme of older fathers, more educated parents, and children born less than a year after their older siblings is not what I see. But here is what I do see in our patients. Number one, military children vaccinated. The word vaccine or any derivative of was never murmured in this meeting until the mother stood to speak at public comment. Repeatedly, because of their records, do not follow them fast enough. Number two, preemies and sick newborns being vaccinated. Number three, and the biggest running theme, family histories of autoimmune and bipolar diseases. Which begs to the point that Vaccine Court is paying for those with health issues and autism. Maybe these children I work with and my son are in that group of sick kids with autism-like symptoms and really do not have autism at all, But regardless of labels, on the subject of my son, most vaccines are contradicted for those with immune system issues. So I'd like to point out that it is irresponsible to jump into vaccination with newborn babies when the status of the immune system and mitochondrial functions are unknown. My son's grandmothers both have lupus. One grandmother also has a seizure disorder and was recently given the shingles vaccine with neurological damage as a result. My sister spent a week in the hospital after MMR at age 7. If our son's first pediatrician had taken into account our family history and held off vaccinating until the status of my son's immune system were more clear, then I believe 100% that I would not have been dealing with autism all of these years. In conclusion, I suggest a sticker on the outside of the pediatrician chart denoting an autoimmune family history so that full vaccination does not occur. I believe that that would alleviate the incidence of the sick children coming into my office. I'd also like to make the point that those who claim their children, patients, have been harmed by vaccines are also the ones treating those children for vaccine injuries, in large part with much success and sometimes even full recovery from autism. This phenomenon deserves your attention. Until studies are done to determine the safety of 5 vaccines in one day for a 2-month-old, or comparing the autism rates of vaccinated versus non-vaccinated children, then there will be thousands upon thousands of autism families who believe vaccines have something to do with their child's autism. Thank you. Now, we can quibble all day about whether you agree with what I said. I had 3 minutes, and at the time, this is exactly what I wanted to say. I'll share what happened during the rest of the day tomorrow, but for now, I want to know what you would say if you had 3 minutes in front of the CDC and Autism Speaks.
We're going to get right to that as soon as we are done with a word from our sponsor.
Wouldn't it be great if all the vaccine research you need would be in one place, along with the latest news in the vaccine industry? Introducing the VaccineResearchLibrary.com. That's VaccineResearchLibrary.com, brought to you by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. It's a living library that grows constantly, so you'll want to check in every day. At VaccineResearchLibrary.com, you'll find dozens of articles that are gleaned from the conventional medical literature daily, with links to abstracts and full-text articles posted in the library. It's shocking to know that nearly every day we find conclusions and hidden admissions that vaccines are not safe and do cause harm. To shed light on this quickly, the homepage has an area called the Scream of the Week. You can post these links on your Facebook page and share through other forms of social media. The Scream of the Week will allow you to rank the information, and the 5-star screams will be posted far and wide, sent out to radio, print, journalists, and television outlets. You will get to help us determine what information needs to be broadcast to the world. Get informed, be empowered, and help empower others. Visit Vaccine Research Library. Library.com every day.
That's right. And you do have to check out Vaccine Research Library. It is phenomenal, and it's only getting better. Dr. Tenpenny is doing a lot of work to that. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about here regarding that, and thanks to Blaze for writing that. Do we know who Blaze is?
They're not giving their real names at the Thinking Moms Revolution. Right. They're using
Y'all need names. To check the Thinking Moms Revolution out. Facebook, I think that's really cool. And dads are welcome, too.
Right. Two dads on there.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. First off, it's very poignant to point out right now exactly what Blaze was talking about regarding the fact that had she known what was going on with the vaccines and how children that were immune compromised or had history of issues in their family, had she known about that, had she thought about it, she might have done something a little bit different. I know we would have. Here's the deal. Even the doctors sit there and tell you, which was our experience, Kim, because we couldn't get our son vaccinated on schedule because he had been ill. His immune system had been compromised. So even the physicians say, if you've been sick, that means your immune system is down, so we should not be vaccinating you. How in the hell do you vaccinate a child for a sexually transmitted disease at the age of, oh, let's just be conservative here, and say 6 hours old? How do you know the shape of that child's immune system?
You don't.
So that's the quandary here, I guess, is if even the doctors are saying don't vaccinate your child if they've had a recent illness, but we're going to vaccinate a six-hour-old infant, is this common sense or am I losing my friggin' mind?
It's definitely not common sense. It would be common sense to say, let's test the mother and see if she has hepatitis B.
Well, and I'm even talking...
How hard is it to test a woman to take her blood and see if she has hepatitis B before you stick the needle in a baby giving them a vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease or something that drug users that share needles get?
Well, and even at 2 months, at 4 months, at 6 months, at 12 months, you do not know the state of that child's immune system if you're not testing. Are you going to...
But honey, Dr. Offit says that they can have 10,000 vaccines.
Yeah, well, then tell me, Dr. Offit, how doctors won't vaccinate a child if they've recently had the friggin' flu, for God's sake.
Well, some won't. Some will.
Yeah, but it is common knowledge. It even says it on the CDC website. It says it on the contraindications. It says it in the fold-out in the box with the vial. It says, if the child has recently been sick, withhold vaccinations. I'm not saying verbatim, but that's basically what it says. If you're telling me that a flu can do more damage, recovering from a flu can do more damage than, say, mitochondrial disorder that you have no clue unless you take a muscle biopsy to find it out, you have no clue what you're doing. You are literally playing Russian roulette with every child you stick with a needle. And if any doctor could come on this radio program and refute that issue, that one point, could refute that one point with me and say, Kurt, you're not being logical here, I would reach through this mic and bitch slap him.
Well, you know what they would say? They would say, well, then why don't all children have autism? That's exactly what they would say.
Why don't all smokers get lung cancer? Why do non-smokers get lung cancer? If cigarette smoking caused cancer, every smoker would get cancer with their logic. But not every cigarette smoker gets lung cancer. Why? Because some cigarette smokers still have a vibrant immune system that doesn't allow cancer cells to proliferate in their body. Some children have good immune systems and can handle their vaccines. I'm not saying they handle them well, and I'm not saying they're not going to see the ramifications of their parents' actions when they turn 40 and they get some kind of cancer or brain cancer or lymphoma or something from what they were injected with when they were young. The fact of the matter is that entire argument is just, I could blow that one out of the water as well. It's absolutely ridiculous to me. I am really sick and tired of these double standards about, oh my God, 10 children died because of whooping cough. So now we're going to turn this into a huge debate and we're going to make doctors tell you whether, or school you before you can philosophically refuse a vaccine. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. And she was spot on with what she said in her 3 minutes before the CDC. She was spot on. Now let's talk about, we're going to go through part two real quick here and move on, but I do like, I love this article.
After I spoke, it was lunchtime. As the crowd started to mill around, I was approached by Peter Bell, VP of Autism Speaks. We have a history of communication. I email him. He tries to call me at my house. I never feel calm enough to take the calls. This is a common tactic of those out there charged with making change in the autism community. They will talk to you on the phone. They will not write anything down for prosperity. He approached me to tell me that he had heard what I said about parents having nothing more than I did in the past 7 years, and the AS should have done something about it. He believes I am wrong. AS does have something new that I could share with my patients, he told me. They do have the first 100 days kit.
Now, Kim, here's the deal. For next week, I want you to find out what's in that first 100 days kit, and we'll talk about it on the program. And I've never seen it, but I can only imagine what a joke it is.
Well, I've seen it, and it talks about you got to get early intervention. You have to get early intervention. It's got to be speech and language therapy. It's got to be developmental therapy. It's got to be ABA. It's all of the things that are approved by the CDC, honey. I'm not sure. What do you think? You tell me if this is worth $61 million in donations.
Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Before we get any further on that, you have to understand, folks, when you go on a walk through the park for Autism Speaks, this is where your money goes, to the first 100 days kit, to these idiots coming to the CDC to sit around and tell parents, moms, that they're wrong, to sit around all day and never mention the word vaccine, which is the most absolute number one issue with autism and numerous other chronic diseases that are epidemic throughout the planet. $4 million?
$61 million
in donations. And I'll bet you anything that this idiot that just told Blaze she was wrong,
Peter Bell,
makes over $300,000 a year, while moms, you're out there busting your humps and walking around the park all day long. Normally in the nice months where it's warm out and you're sweating and you get a bottle of water and you do all this walking and you get people to sponsor you, so this idiot can sit there and tell moms they're wrong and offer 100-day kits about how wonderful your child's going to be if they get early intervention. Seems, think about that next time you go on one of them damn walks.
Seems like to me that any thinking mom could do this for herself for free, and many have. As I am a good Southern girl, I turn the conversation to kids instead of saying what I wanted to say. I regret it. He went on his way soon enough. At that point, I was approached by a man with a thick European accent. I still have no idea who he was. He quickly told me that I might be onto something with military kids getting double vaccinated and that I should tell someone. Whom it was that he said, I didn't quite interpret. He quickly and nervously walked away after making his comment, and I never saw him again. After lunch, the panel split into four predetermined groups.
Okay, to speed this up a little bit, the four predetermined groups, now she goes over to listen in on the group that Mark Blaxel is in with. Okay, now the one thing she said, really it was very benign, but the one thing that she does remember that really stood out to her was when Mark Blaxel just out and out said, almost at the top of his voice, this is what I want. I want us to stand up right now, go out of this room and to the press and declare a national emergency. This needs to stop now, today. And everybody just sat there.
And looked at him. And then turned around and kept talking.
Yeah, and just kept talking like, oh, okay, the crazy man just stood up.
Yeah.
How pathetic is this? And this is, when you're talking about the Combating Autism Act, when you're talking about, oh, wow, these wonderful politicians are just getting on board and going to help us, this is the crap you get for your money. Now, let's move on to right here.
One study, Doctor.
No, okay, let's set this up. Dr. McMahon came up and talked to her.
McMahon.
Now, Dr. McMahon is the chairman of psychiatry at the University of Utah, okay? And he pretty much told everybody he did not plan on working on autism anymore. He was close to retirement. He didn't plan on it. Now, here's one of the reasons why he probably didn't plan on it. He did this study that she references here.
Dr. McMahon was involved in an autistic disorder and viral infections. Part of the abstract of the study concludes, biological assays lend support to the association between measles virus, or MMR, and autism, whereas epidemiological studies show no association between MMR and autism. Further research is needed to clarify both the mechanisms whereby viral infection early in development may lead to autism and the possible involvement of the MMR vaccine in the development of autism.
Kim, this is a doctor that just basically said that even regardless of the epidemiological studies, what he's seeing in this study during his research is that MMR should be researched more closely due to its relationship with
autism. And she says that's why he doesn't want to do the study anymore, because of the Wakefield effect.
Yeah, exactly.
He has now been tasked with counting our kids. He has a $2.4 million four-year grant from the CDC that should keep him busy and away from his pesky immune system MMR questions, right?
See, isn't that the key? This guy's already on the panel, so it would look pretty bad if they removed him from the panel. So it's the crazy old man that's about to retire, and they're basically putting him out to pasture. No more talk about that. No more crazy talk about that viral infection, MMR, autism link. Here, go count kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that, literally, that's what it's all about. And that old guy should be really angry about that.
Yeah. After the group breakout sessions, everyone came back together to report on their findings. Before any reports were made, an adult diagnosed with autism named Wolf Dunaway was introduced. It was explained that he wanted to speak at the public comment part of the day but hadn't gotten a chance, although he was part of the panel and had contributed to the discussion on the day several times. He told a little of his story. At almost 40 years old, he was very poor and living in public housing, but someone came up and helped him, gave him a comfortable job with the IRS, and now he lives in a beautiful townhome in D.C. and participates in government functions pertaining to autism. Then he said he just wanted everyone to know that he would rather have autism than the diseases the vaccines protect us from.
Okay, now wait a minute, because I'm about to jump on this Dunaway. Okay, Wolf, if you're listening, and I don't care if he's got autism or not, I'm sick and tired of this. The government
doesn't have the same autism that our kids have.
The government is using him.
If he's able to hold a job and can take care of himself and stand up and talk with his faculties and not in a diaper,
Wolfie boy, listen to me. Okay, and hopefully somebody that knows you is listening to this, because this show is archived. I want you to sit your butt down, because you can sit your butt down and you're probably not wearing diapers and you're probably not tied to a wheelchair with a helmet on because you bang your head and try to harm yourself, okay? So sit your sorry butt down and listen to this, Wolfie boy. You were bought off. The government gave you a cushy job, took you out of the poorhouse and gave you a cushy job so you can walk around and whore yourself to sell vaccines. Let me tell you something, Wolfie boy. I would take measles, mumps, rubella all on the same day than what me and my wife and my poor son has to deal with on a daily basis. So take your punk ass back to public housing, get your soul back, and go to work for McDonald's.
Okay, that was nice, dear. As the four groups came back together to make more of their reports of their findings for the individual discussions, the moms who spoke at the public comments just sat there with their minds blown, our bodies rigid and our mouths wide open. As it was earlier in the day, there was no urgency, no answers, no desire for meaningful change or exchange. Just another day at the office. How can one sit in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention building of our American government in a meeting to talk about a disease that has reached 1 in 110, soon to officially be 1 in 88, or 1 in 60 of our children, and imagine that there would be no urgency? It's almost like we live in an alternative universe where nothing makes sense, where there is no logic. Quite a different scene than the day where three people died from contaminated spinach, that's for sure. The CDC had the square footage nailed down in minutes. It's quite obvious who is left to make the difference here. It's thinking moms and dads like you and me, and we will win. Our truth will be heard, and there's no way around it. Autism Speaks has released their own report on this meeting of yesterday's afternoon. She's got a link where you could read it, and we'll post it on the Facebook page. It said, update, in the year since the meeting, Autism Speaks has published their accomplishments for 2011. You tell me, is there anything on the list that help you help your child? Thinking moms want to know. Tell the thinking moms and dad what you think. Let's make a public record of our thoughts here.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, Wolfie boy, I'm sorry, but you might just not have your faculties about you enough to figure it out. But if you've got your faculties enough about you that you can get up and talk in front of the CDC panel, you've got your faculties enough about you that you could work for the IRS, although I don't know how big that is, because there's a lot of idiots working in government right now. But the fact of the matter is, this is what angers me so much.
It's, the difference is, I'm sure that Wolf has classic autism or Asperger's, which is completely different than what our kids have. So for him to stand there and say that he would rather have autism than one of the diseases that they make vaccines for is because he doesn't have the same illness that our children have.
He might might have that same illness, not at such a drastic level.
If he can stand in front of people and speak with his mouth and not an augmentative communication device, if he isn't walking on his toes and flapping and not being able to look people in the eyes and has food sensitivities and allergies and in diapers and can't sleep at night and is in special ed, I'm sorry. He does not have the same thing
He's being used. Have. That's the primary reason why I called him a whore. He's being used like one. Here, I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you all this stuff, and here's what I want you to do.
I'm sure now, they might took not him out in his... the hall and gave him a little speech and told him what he was to say when he walked back in the room.
Which is why I said, quit your job, Wolfie boy. Go back to public housing and save your soul. Because that's so much more important than what you're doing right now. Save your soul, buddy bear. Get your butt back to public housing. Tell the government to shove their cushy job right up their butts. It's just disgusting and indicative of what the government will do. The government will do crap like that. Will utilize simple-minded people like that for their goals. And, you know, there's probably panel members up there like what's her name, Sanger or Singer.
Allison Sanger.
Allison Sanger. I keep on wanting to say Margaret Sanger. Allison Singer, that despicable, worthless piece of human dung herself, sitting up there going, yeah, and everybody that's watching this right now in the panel, looking at him going, wow, autism can't be all that bad. Look at that nice little man up there.
Really? That's why she wanted to drive her car off the bridge with her child in it.
Yeah. This is the same woman that publicly on a video talked about wanting to kill her daughter because she had...
Well, she said that it was so horrible that oftentimes when she was crossing the bridge, she thought about just turning the wheel so they would both go off the bridge into the water and then she wouldn't have to deal with autism anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Minus the daughter, feel free to drive yourself off the bridge. In fact, contact me first. I'll make the flight to wherever you're doing it and I'll put it on YouTube. I cannot stand that woman. I despise that woman. Okay, now Barack Obama, to get on to other news, did you have anything else you wanted to do as far as that?
No, I want to thank Blaze
for absolutely.
Writing such a fabulous...
The Thinking Moms Revolution, that is such a great thing. I just love it. I love it. And, you know, it's really cool that it's kind of anonymous because so many of these moms out there that have become these super advocates and super bloggers and out there talking to congressmen and everything else and writing and all of what they're doing, they get targeted
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely.
It's really despicable how they get targeted and really brave of them. You're right there with them, hon. Let's get on with a little bit of news before we have to end it for the week. H.R. 347, some of y'all probably have not heard of this. President Barack Obama signed this bill, and this bill essentially ends free speech as we know it in the presence of any politician. Now, they say that it's stemming from the whole Gabriella Gifford thing. Look, it's already illegal to shoot Congress people. It's already illegal. We don't need any more bills. Okay, it's illegal to carry a gun, I would think, especially when you're a convicted felon. It's illegal to carry a gun at all, but it's illegal to shoot people at the grocery store. It is illegal. We don't need any new laws to determine the fact that maybe this was a bit ambiguous. Let's really clarify it so they create this bill. This is really stemming from the Congress people and senators that were going back a couple of years ago to their to their home turf, if you will, and doing these town hall meetings. And here were a bunch of those damn Tea Partiers that were just fed up with this communist bullcrap going on. And many of them were just as fed up with Bush. So it wasn't a black thing. It wasn't a Democrat thing. It was, we're sick and tired of y'all stealing our freedoms from us. And they were standing up and yelling and demanding answers. And these politicians went back to Washington, D.C. and said, this crap's got to stop. These people are insolent. They do not understand we're in charge. They're the servants. We're the masters. So they created this bill. And I guarantee you that's exactly what happened. Now, the official White House statement released by the president says, President Obama signed into law H.R. 347, the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act of 2011. It sounds like they're wanting to pretty up the grounds, you know, let's plant some petunias, you know, which makes it a federal crime to enter or remain knowingly in any restricted area of the White House, the vice president's official residence, or their respective grounds without lawful authority. This is what they said this was about. For one thing, it's called the Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act. And it's to keep people out of, if you're not allowed or been invited into the White House or the vice president's house or their yards, this is what they're saying it's about. Okay, now here's what the bill actually says. Whoever knowingly enters or remains in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority to do so, knowingly and with intent to impede. Notice it didn't say anything about White House. It just says restricted buildings or grounds without lawful authority. With intent to impede or disrupt the orderly conduct of government business or official functions, engages in disorderly or disruptive conduct in or within such proximity to any restricted building or grounds when or so that such contact in fact impedes or disrupts the orderly conduct of government business or official functions, knowingly and with the intent to impede or disrupt the orderly conduct of government business or official functions, obstructs or impedes ingress or egress to or from any restricted building or grounds, or knowingly engages in any act of physical violence against any person or property in any restricted building or grounds, attempts or conspires to do so, shall be punished. In other words, no matter where we are, if there's a congressman or a senator and they're trying to conduct official business, like say a tea party or a town hall meeting, they don't want you lousy, sorry, surf idiot Americans to tell them how you really feel. And if you do, you're going to be arrested. You will be punished. You will be punished like the little insolent pup that you are. This is where this country has gotten. This is it, folks. Now, I swear to God, I'll bet you that the toilet paper roll in the Oval Office, you can count the rolls by the amendments that President Obama is wiping his ass with. I am so sick of this. And over and over and over again, we're going to talk beginning of next week about the fact that now the United States government is saying, kids, your kids cannot work on your farm. Do you know Cass Sunstein has issued, I can't even remember the amount, over 10,000 restrictions and regulations on government, on business, on private business, and the private acts of American citizens since Obama has come into office. Things restricting us from being allowed to do things. Folks, this government, this administration has got to go. If you still believe that this man is working for you and that this government is working for you, you are already dead inside. You just don't know it. Lay down, take a break. I'm serious. You are not a thinking individual if you can like this guy. It's amazing. Okay, I hope everybody enjoyed the week. Sorry for the screw-up on Wednesday. That was totally 100% beyond our control. Natural News Radio is working on that. And listen to the other great shows on Natural News Radio. Thanks for listening to us. I hope y'all check out our Linderman Unleashed Facebook page. And until next week, don't forget,
the gloves are off.
Have a great weekend.